Well, I was gonna do this to say the young buck has a better memory than I do, so he doesn't need notes. Nah.
Need coffee though.
He's mine.
Ray, you already started taking?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sending you greetings from Crystal. Some of you have asked how she's doing. She is in Kansas with her sister Julia. Julia's, whoa, this doesn't lean back like that one did. Her sister Julia's hip surgery was much more extensive than they thought it was. And right now they're talking about possibly 4 months before she could even pick a baby up. So Crystal is looking at other options of possibly staying with her sister for a while and then coming back. But she and I called, talked Friday night. And she wanted to let you know how much she misses being here. And she said, that's my home, that's my family. But we talked about a church out there, and then she's looking into a church that has a lot of small groups. Has a ladies group we've already put her in touch with. So, but I'm just telling you hi from her, and I wanted it on recorded because she listens to the podcast. And so I wanted, so we say hi, Crystal.
Hi.
You probably heard that. And then Ryan McAuliffe is here. Ryan and his family moved back right now to Fishers. And Judy is disappointed in that. She can no longer actually fly to Denver. See her grandkids. Ryan's been there going, oh, no, mom's closer. What's that? Anyway, we're glad you're here today, and this is going to be a little bit longer than it normally is. I've already warned Phil back there because both of us are talking a little bit. Ryan talks a lot, I talk a little. Everything, a lot of it has changed. I came up this morning and rewrote a whole lot of my part. And so the scripture I would like you to go to is in Ezekiel. I know you're saying, where in the world is that? First of all, it's in the Old Testament. Okay? And you're going to go to Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. We will be in 36 and 37. And eventually I'm going to get to the scripture in 37 and then hop back to 36. But I want you to be ready for that so that we'll be able to save a little bit of time. Let's start with a word of prayer before we get started. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to listen to the voices. If that's what heaven's going to sound like, it just overwhelms me to listen to. We're no longer a slave to fear. To listen to that you're a good, good Father, and how unto you all the glory goes. And so that's what we hope and pray for this morning, that all the honor, all the glory, all the praise, all the adoration would go to you and not to us. We thank you that you have blessed this church for 13 years and that you continue to pour your hand upon it and pour out your blessings and continue to bring people who love you, who want to serve you, who want to know more about you. And I just pray that you will find us equal to the task and to help us as we continue to try to do your work here in this community and around the world. And so thank you for your presence today. We look forward to what you're going to do in our lives as we share our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a new friend with me here today. He doesn't know I'm doing this. His name is Dave Wechter. Dave's back there. Joe calls him 3 feet Dave. That is not because he has 3 feet, okay? It's because he kind of leads the organization called 3 Feet Please, which obviously you know that I'm involved with. And it's an advocacy group for giving cyclists 3 feet of safe distance as they ride on the road. And as many of you know, I'm an advocate of that because of personal experience. She identifies him as 3 feet deep because that's how she describes him or identifies him to other people. When she talked about Dave coming to him, he said, Dave who? She said, 3 feet Dave. Oh yeah, now I know who you're talking about. So there's an identity there. Some of you know, and I've mentioned this before, and perhaps some of you have seen this band that I wear on my wrist, and it's called a road ID. I wear it all the time because it has my information on it. It tells my name, my phone number, Joe's name, Joe's phone number. It has my medical information that I'm an organ donor, I'm an A positive blood donor. A positive blood, not donor, but I'm an organ donor, and it tells that at this point I have no known allergies that I know of. It also has my doctor's name on it. So that if anything happens to me, and I am unable to communicate, they can read this. And that's what happened in February when I was unable to completely answer the questions. They were able to look at my bracelets. Oh yeah, he's got one of them IDs on and get the information on it. It identifies me as for who I am. But I think there's a better question when you talk about the church, and that is, how do you identify a church? There's a quote that's going to come up here, and I've used it before, and I know some of you have never heard it before. It's going to be, without vision, there is rarely direction. Without direction, there are no goals. And without goals, there is no progress. I think that's pretty simple to say. And I have something to confess to you. I've not always been a dreamer. In fact, well, let me rephrase that. I have been a dreamer, but I've not known how to bring the dream to fruition. Some of you know that I played ball in high school. As a youngster, I wanted to be a professional baseball player. That was my goal, my dream. But I didn't understand what it took to be a professional baseball player. Then I transferred all that to basketball, and I wanted to be a professional basketball player. Well, I had some things against me. Number one, white man can't jump. but the main part is I didn't understand at that time that being a professional basketball player was going to require all year round preparation. I was going to have to practice all year round. I was going to have to lift weights all year round. I was going to have to amp up my preparation all year round. Now, I achieved some success in college. And I found out years later that from my dad that I was scouted during my junior year for the pros. That's what the coach told my dad. And so he shared that with me several years ago. I don't know. I never had what it would take him to be a pro because I didn't understand. I want to talk to you why we exist as a church. We can have dreams. We can have visions. We can say this is where we want to go. And pressing toward that goal takes a lot of hard work. It takes time. It takes patience. And in our case, it takes God's work and God's timing. In Ezekiel, if you would turn there, now that I've asked you to open up there, Ezekiel in chapter 37. This is a story where God tells Ezekiel, I want you to preach to this valley of dry bones. Okay? And then he's going to bring them to life. And I'm going to preach a sermon on this in the new year, but I just want to give you a little glimpse. Start with verse 7. He says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. So Ezekiel's preaching, these bones are coming to life, but notice what happens. But there was no breath in them. Well, that's not God's intention, is that we just bring these bones to life, and there be no breath. Now, go back to chapter 36, verse 26 and 27, and here's where the breath comes. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. And so what God has said is that I will give you my breath. You see, we can talk about a church growing. We can talk about a church being alive. We can talk about a church doing this and doing that. But we can do it in the flesh if we want to. And you can actually accomplish a lot of stuff in the flesh. But the really important thing is that if God's Spirit is not in what we're doing, we're only doing it for ourselves. And so as we talk to you about what God has done and is doing in this church and in this community through us, we want you to understand that we pray daily that God will use us and he will fill us with his spirit. This will not be our effort. Now, granted, that's a hard thing to do. And I think Ryan will agree with me. It's hard not to want to take the credit for something. You know, it's hard to sit there and go, yeah, I didn't have anything to do with that. That was somebody else's idea. You know, I mean, that's the natural part of us. That's the flesh part of us. And yet, if anything is going to be accomplished that's of eternal value, and that's the key word, eternal value, it has to be done by his Spirit and with his Spirit. Because we can set all kinds of bases and foundations or things that we want to do, all kinds of programs, but if God's Spirit is not in it, we're wasting our time. And it's not going to last. So, what we're going to come to is that God's Spirit joins God's preached word, a word preached through a man to give spiritual life when there is no spiritual life. And also, it takes faith to believe that invisible words and the invisible spirit can give a life give life to a valley of dry bones. I don't know where you are spiritually in your walk. I know some of you, and I know where some of you are, but some of you may be in that valley of dry bones right now. Some of you may be heading toward that valley. Some of you may be coming out of that valley. Some of you may have just tossed all sides and said, you know, I don't really care. But what I'm praying for is that God's Spirit will be able to infuse us with this life. And as he tells Ezekiel, I want to give you a new heart and a new spirit to put within you. And when you do that, you will walk in my statutes. You will listen to what I have to say. And so our mission, should we choose to accept it, is to connect people to Jesus. And that's Jesus' mission himself. He said, go to all the world, teach, preach, baptize, teach them again, and do this until I come. Jesus' whole mission was not to just to heal people, it was to draw them to him. And that should be our mission in life, is to connect people to Jesus. So, the second thing is the reasons we exist. And not everyone sees the things that I do, and this is still a developing thought in me. The challenge in our leadership meeting, just haven't had a whole lot of time to sit and think about it. But I want our mission, we want our mission to be the same mission as Jesus had. Jesus said this, the Son of Man came what? Seek and save the lost. That was his mission. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so that is our mission, is to do exactly what Jesus did, is to give his life away. But as he gave his life away, his life was given away to ransom people, to set people free, to give them hope, to give them life. That's what our mission should be. We should never be doing something just so we get the credit for it. I think it was Ronald Reagan says, who can tell how far our organization can go if nobody cares who gets the credit? And so who cares who gets the credit? Who cares who fought off this program or did this or did that, and, you know, did this at the day of service? Fine, we all did it together for the purpose of connecting people to Jesus. Now, my next question is this, how do we go about that? I think that's the $1,000 question. We can have a nice mission, but how do we go about connecting people to Jesus? Well, I'm going to share two of them with you, and then Ryan's going to share the third one with you. The first one, and this has been our mission, our vision, is to be passionate pursuers of Jesus. There's a principle that comes into play here. You can never take people where you yourself have not been. As I study leadership, what they tell us, or what they write, is if you're a 7, the only people you'll be able to lead are 6 and lower. If you're on a point scale of 1 to 10. But if you're a 7, you won't be able to lead the 8, 9, 10 people because they're further than you are. But it's the ones who are, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 who are coming up that you'll be able to lead. And you know yourself that that's true. There's some validity that, there's also some validity that spiritually. How many times have you had to tell people, I don't understand what you're going through? See, until you've been through something, you really, you know, it's kind of like me as a brand new parent, when Tammy was first born, telling parents who have teenagers how to raise their children. I've never experienced that. How can I tell people? Now people say, how did you do it? I'll say, I don't know. it was all Joe's doing. They'll say, how did you deal with two teenage daughters at the same time? I locked them in a room, told them to come out for school, put them back in the room. But, you know, now that we have been through that, we can now say, here's what we did. It worked for us. May not work for you, but it is an option for you. See what I mean? And so the same thing is true spiritually. Paul says in Philippians 3, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and to share in the fellowship of his sufferings. That word know, as you most of you know, means to know intimately. He says, I want to know Christ intimately. You cannot be, or it's hard to get other people to be passionate pursuers of Jesus if you yourself are not a passionate pursuer. See what I mean? So we want to become passionate pursuers of Jesus. I want to share a little bit about 2018 with you. We realized some things this past year. One of my goals for over 2 years has been to have Matt and Lori Creed here for Home My Heart Ministries. We realized that. But in 2018, my plan is to use the theme Uncharted. Now, I've toyed with several different themes over the last couple months. One was called Accept the Challenge, and that was the one I was going to go with until we went to Florida and we heard a pastor talk about his last three or four sermons, and one of them, his series was called Bold. And he said he wanted to take his people to uncharted waters. Well, that was okay for him because he's a surfer, you know. And that was the crowd he was trying to reach. I want to teach you uncharted waters. But then I started thinking, that's a good way. Well, I shared that with the staff. Ryan thought it was good. Diana called me a copycat. but I forgave her. anyway, part of the year next year is going to be spent in the book of Romans. The whole month of January is going to be Romans 12, the whole chapter. I am not conformed, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we're going to talk about what it means to be transformed by him. And then I'm going to go back and start in Romans chapter 1. We're going to take it through, and up until Easter, we'll be basically into Romans 1 through 6, somewhere in there. And then I'm thinking about a series on family. Possibly a series on Proverbs, different Proverbs. But there's time to develop those. But what I want to do for this coming year is to challenge us to go into uncharted waters, to go into uncharted territories, to go places we have not been before spiritually. Because as you go to those places spiritually, what happens? Your life changes, and what else? Other people's lives change with you when they come along. So I want to be, that our desire is that we become passionate pursuers of Jesus. The second part of that is that we be models of truth and love. And real quickly, I want to make a short comment about this because I know I've already taken up a lot of time and I'm going to give time to Ryan. You've heard me say this, and I believe this so strongly. All truth and no love makes us harsh and legalistic. All love and no truth make us pure sentimentalists. But to be models of truth and love requires an equal amount of both. So what I'm saying is we will love those who are different than us, but we will not compromise the truth. We will share the truth, but as we share the truth, we'll encompass that whole truth with love. We cannot call sin okay. But at the same time, even as we do, we need to see that all sin is ugly in God's sight. And what I mean by that is we can never forget that gossip, and cheating, and lying, and profanity using God's name in vain, putting God out of our lives, and other sins are just as bad. And we need to be as uncompromising on those sins as we are on the sins of other things. So I'll continue to preach a truth, mixed with a lot of grace. If you don't hear that word grace much, you probably don't think I'm having a love affair with grace. But I guess I am. But there's a quote from our New Morning Mercies that I read this week, and I wanted to share it with you. And it's too long, and it's not in your bulletin. It came up later on this week. It says, "But God ordained that we should gather again and again to remember again and again who we are and what we have been. His church is a tool of grace, a vehicle for remembering so that we may celebrate and grow. This church needs to be a tool of grace." And Brian and I, and Diana, but especially Ryan and I, because we are the ones who do the speaking, we want you to know that we will talk a lot about love and truth, but we will talk a lot about grace. And we're going to practice grace. And you know what? Nothing would make me happier, nothing would make him happier, if those that we talk to decide, you know, I want to be a grace-filled person too. Because I want to be part of a grace-filled church. And you see, a grace-filled church becomes that because of the people who make it up. It's just a building, you know that. I'm not saying anything you don't already know. But as people walk into this place, they need to feel grace. And when people meet you outside this place, they need to feel grace. And it needs to come from our heart. Okay, I'm going to turn this next section over to Ryan, but I want to say something before I do. I want you to know how much I appreciate this guy. I'm going to embarrass him, but that's all right. Each day I come to work, and I work with two of the finest people I've ever worked with. Diana is efficient, she's a giver, and she's a taker of staff jokes. And our antics. But she's also conscientious, highly aware of our need for financial accountability as a church, and is excellent at taking a lot of things off our shoulders we don't have to deal with. They would consume me, frankly. All the details would consume me because I am not a detailed person like some are.
I didn't say that.
Anyway, and I worked with and want you to know that her hours say 8 to 12, but you have no clue how many times she works into the afternoon, either at last minute or just doing things on the side for the church. And so when you say, "Is Diana there?" and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I say, "No," you know what? She's not supposed to be here. You know, her hours, she's only paid 8 to 12, but everything else is beyond that. And I've worked with several youth pastors over the years, and I have never, ever had one like Ryan. I will leave that where it is. We have our last of staff meetings, and he keeps us in stitches because he does voices. And some of you know that. He does these voices. And he has a memory like a trap. He remembers movies. He remembers TV shows. And he'll start, we'll say something, and Ryan's going, and I'm sitting there going, "How do you remember that?" He just remembered. He might have only watched it one time, but he remembers it. But we have a lot of fun, and we laugh a lot, but we also get a lot of stuff done. And I think we work well together. We love each other, we stick up for each other, and we work well together. And Ryan, I'm going to turn this next section over to Ryan for several reasons. Number one, because I've talked too much, but also because he makes his presence felt in this community. He goes to schools every week. One week it's a senior, the high school, next week it's a middle school. He goes to the activities of the kids. And lunch is just one of the things he does well. And as you'll see, he's trying to get our youth involved in what we're going to be talking about, and that is service. But he also has a background that I do not have. And due to his background in construction and finance, I felt that he was the one who was best suited talk about what we're going to be talking about next. When he gives his presentation about the building, understand this, that he and Diana, especially Diana, have spent hours poring over financial records. so that when this presentation is made to you this morning, it is correct and it is precise down to the penny. So I can promise you that. So I'm going to let Ryan take it from here and do your thing.
Well, first of all, I don't know what to say to the comment about having never worked with you, Pastor, about me. That's a compliment or a... I paid you to say it's a compliment, so I'm hoping that's how you meant it. But I can echo that a little bit and say that I do enjoy very much working alongside you. And no one has, in my history, even working for my dad, this is not a slam against my dad, but even in working for my dad, no one has ever taken me under the wing quite the way Bill has. In fact, there have been times where I've showed up in the office and there's a new book sitting on my desk, and inside the book is a note. This really helped me when I was getting started. I hope it blesses you. There's no reading schedule like, hey, you got to read it in this time frame and get back with me. It's just, hey, I thought that you might enjoy this.
There's one on your desk now, Jeff, they've done by tomorrow.
Wow. There goes my afternoon. So I greatly appreciated that. And there have been times where I've said, you know, Bill, I'm really struggling with preparing this sermon. And he goes, number one, you're a detail person. You need to let some of the details go. Okay, let's just get to the outline first. And number two, come into my office anytime, whether I'm here or not, borrow whatever you need. So anyway, I just say that because you have been so generous towards us and very, very, very encouraging and supportive. So, because when I came into ministry, it was very similar to when I had our first child. You know, our child wasn't born and then they give you a handbook. So here you go. This is how you do this. And ministry was much the same way for me because it wasn't my background. So Bill has been my handbook, so to speak, and I really appreciate that. And as far as the hours of pouring over financial statements, I'll credit that to Diana. She took my hours too, and then she said, hey, here's what I've got. How does this look? And I said, it looks great. Thank you very much. So, the third part of our vision is to be involved in our community. You can see it on the screen there. And we have a slideshow prepared, a few pictures that I would like to, I'll give a little bit of comment as we go, and then I'd like to come back and finish the presentation. So this is after we finished our day at ICE this just a couple Fridays ago. You can see we had a group of 26 with us from age, how old is Sophia now, a year and a half?
14 months.
14 months was our youngest, and I'm not going to tell you who was the oldest, but they were in their 40s, and that's all I'm going to say. Because I want to survive for lunch. You can go ahead to the next slide. This is a great picture. I had to include this. Joe was our designated picture taker. Thank you, Joe, very much. I don't know how we got this one of you, but you guys sure look like you enjoyed yourselves. And Emily's not in here, so I can embarrass Joe just a little bit. Joe was not going, he was going to come with us, and he said, you know what, I've got one day left of vacation time at work, and I've had a few illnesses throughout the year, and he said, I don't know if I should save it. And he contacted me, I think it was the night before, and he said, you know what, I'm going. I got to burn that vacation day. And I'd rather do something where I'm working alongside my daughter, showing her what God's kingdom looks like, instead of being able to do that. So kudos to you, Joe. Thanks for being a good parent. Thanks for following Jesus. It was awesome having you. This is the trifecta of awesomeness. And you can see on the far right there, the most awesome princess there in Grandma's arms. And she's enjoying the safety glasses there too with Hope. So the first picture, you're going to see some more of those things too. The first few pictures that were up there was us packing meals for IDES. So they have this gap food packing program. And what goes into those bags is a cup of rice, a cup of soy protein, because rice really doesn't have any nutrients. The soy protein goes in, there are dehydrated vegetables, and there's a nutrition pack that goes in there too that has vitamins included. And it goes down the assembly line. And once it reaches the end, they have to measure those. They have to be 14 ounces exactly. And those meals will feed, once they're hot and cooked, they'll feed 6 people. But if they're over 14 ounces, you add that up by 45 bags per box and 60 boxes on a pallet, that really adds up. The military will ship these for us for free. And as long as they're 14 ounces a bag. If we go overweight, they send them back. We have to totally on doing it in the pack. So they had scales there at the end, and people were like, one grain of rice in, two grains of rice out. I mean, it was very meticulous, but they were dedicated. And then in this series of photos here, you can see some of the group is working on framing some walls. One of the outreaches that IDES does is in disaster hit areas where, especially where there's damage to homes, is they send these sheds, and they're pretty good sized sheds, and they're very nicely constructed. But it's to allow people who, maybe they have water damage in their home, or the roof has been torn off by a tornado. Now the rest of their belongings that survive are under threat of being ruined by the weather. This is a way for them to go through. They drop these right on their property, and they can go through their stuff, and they can actually save it, what they can. So their family photos and things of that nature that are sentimental, they can store in there. And that's Dallas in the red shirt, who was our coordinator from IDES. And he said, now I've had times when we drop these off, we can't let people live in them, so to speak, but what they do with them after we leave is really up to them. And they've had people that have used those as temporary shelter, so they can live there on their property while they're building things. This photo is a subgroup of our folks who are going through pre-assembled materials for the sheds, and they are taking Sharpies in the writing scripture on those materials. And these don't always go to Christ followers, folks. They come to anyone in the community who requests it that's damaged. And Dallas was telling us how much of an impact that has had. And when they were framing the walls, they were stepping on some of the siding. And I said, hey guys, you're getting your footprints on the siding. You need to get off of the siding. And he said, no. He said, let him do that. He said, I took one of these personally to someone, and they saw those footprints on the siding, and he said, I'm really sorry that they stepped on it. And they said, no, I'm glad to see that, because it means that a person built this. Someone took their time and their blood and their sweat and their tears, and they put this together, and it came to us. This didn't come from a factory somewhere. This came from a human being. And that communicated God's love in a footprint right there on the side of that shed. And so did these scriptures here, too, to the right hand side. Here they are packing the meals again. It's hard to see what that says there, but that's some scripture written on the side of the panels. Now, you see the pallets. There's Dallas there standing in the pallets. And those are 50-pound bags of rice on those pallets and 50-pound bags of soy, the brown bags. There were two pallets of that soy, and there were three pallets of the rice. And these guys that you see standing there unpacked all of those and hauled them and restacked them in the correct proportions so that they could be taken to off-site locations to do a food pack. So I think it was 8 or 10 bags of rice and then 6 bags of soy. And they separated those out and stacked them on pallets. It took them about 30 minutes to do that. I mean, they just handed it out. And then because we were hungry, we had to stop a piece out, of course. And you can see Caleb's expression, and I was trying to figure out what in the world was going on there. And then I realized he's the only one without a breadstick on his plate. I think he's just saying, stop taking a picture and give me my breadstick. And so we ate about $187 worth of pizza. We had a good time. This, let me just let you land here in this picture for a second. This is my favorite picture. And this picture was taken at 7:30 in the morning before we left. Mind you, this is fall break for these students. So they got up early, maybe at 7:25. And sped here at top speed so that they could go with us. And my favorite thing about this picture is who's in the picture. If you look on the wall behind those students, Jesus is in that picture. Now, I know that's a little hokey, it's a painting. Jesus lives inside of us. But what a visual reminder of why we were there. You know, we don't just, as Bill mentioned, we're not in the community just to be involved in the community. That's humanism. Just being kind for the sake of being kind really is not the point. We are carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And His love that we have experienced lives and dwells inside of us. And we are the vessel then that carries that to the community. So if we're not willing to leave this place, and this is a great place, by the way, I want us to keep doing this and coming here. As Bill shared, your voices today. I can hear that over the drums, which is hard to do sometimes. And I could hear you all, and it was just glorifying the Lord. But if we don't take that outside of this place that we failed our mission. Just let that sink in for a second. We have to take Jesus with us when we go into our community. And that's what these students were doing. Is they were taking Jesus with them so that he could touch other lives. So, to be involved in the community, I want to share a few other things with you too.
How many are here this morning who went to the ICE thing? Can you raise your hand? You don't have to stand, just raise your hand.
And thank you guys very much. That was wonderful. Really enjoyed having you guys. We have a lot of fun when we do those kind of things. It's not the first time that we've done something like that, and it definitely won't be the last. These guys have, the youth group in particular, and a number of adults have come with us to IDES before. We've done birthdays at the Center for Women's Ministries here in our community. We went to Head Start back in May, and we did a lot of work. I was tempted to throw some pictures out there, but I was thinking people might question my judgment because Donnie and Katie have a power washer on the roof that building. So we left that picture off. But we had a number of Dan and Levi were there, a number of others that came and helped with that day. And weeds and doing all these tedious minor tasks that no one wants to do except when the love of Christ lives inside of you, you'll do those things as an act of service and an act of worship to show, hey, we want to be a part of this community. We want you to know Jesus, experiencing the same way we've experienced. And so that's why we do those things. One other area, something that I wanted to share briefly that has to do with are being involved in the community. Just this year, we were invited by the middle school principal in the Grange to step in and help with a program that they had started several years back called Backpack Letters. And I know a number of you all have participated in that. We still have openings going forward into the future. We've committed to pack those meals each week all the way through May. So just briefly, what Backpack Letters is, in case you don't know or you're not familiar with that or you missed that train, is there are a number of students within our school corporation, they've identified over 50, who are at risk of going without eating at home, especially over the weekend while they're gone. And maybe the only meal that they get each day is their school lunch. And so these students have been referred either by their teachers or their counselor or another person in their family that is really concerned about them possibly going hungry. And the school stepped in using a little bit of fund money that they had on the side to say, we need to do something. We're going to start supplying food to these kids. We'll pack a meal through the week. We'll send it home with them on Friday. And they've even given them the caveat, if you need to hide this food under your bed, then do that to make sure that you eat. And that's a sad state of things have to do that. But they're all things that the kids can take home. They can heat them in the microwave if they need to be heated or just eat straight as it is. And so we stepped on board at their invitation to do that. And I got an email this past week from Julie Allen, who is the coordinator, that I wanted to share with you all. Because it really touched me, and it made me think of a couple of things. And so I want to read her email to you in regards to our participation in Backpack Letters. She says, I want to thank you all from the bottom of my heart. You are all amazing. It's all capital letters with multiple exclamation points out there. So I guess I could do that face. This mission means the world to me, and the help that you have provided has been a huge blessing for me. I have struggled to keep up, and now I can rest assured that it is taken care of. Thank you, Julie. As I read that, there were two scriptures that popped into my head. Now, the first one is from James chapter 2, where it says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? Suppose your brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? The other is similar to that, but it's from 1 John chapter 3. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Folks, if we camp out here inside of this place and we never reach out into the community and we all turn inward, how can the love of God dwell here? We may have right theology, we may have right doctrine, but we have missed the train where Bill was talking about truth and love. That love is supposed to fill us and overflow into the community. So be involved in the community is what we're trying to do. And if you're looking for ways to do that, I would love to talk with you after service. We're going to be eating in here. It's a great time to chat. So come and find me because I would love for you to be able to get connected in that as well. Okay, we're going to shift gears now. We wanted to take care of the most important things first, and that is our hearts. But there's something else, too, that we want to share with you because it's been an exciting thing, something that's been going on for quite a long time. We've announced over the last few years the progress that's been made. And even as we started the building project, we've been giving you even weekly updates. So I want to just take a few minutes and kind of catch everyone up to speed on what's going on with the building. I'm going to get my cheat sheet out here. You actually have this inside of your bulletin, too. So before we go over the numbers and things like that, I want to think back on where we came from. And if you're like me, every anniversary that comes around, I'm hoping I do this when we're sitting out at dinner for the very rare times we've met without kids, and say, what's been the most meaningful thing to you over the last 12 years? I almost got that wrong. The last 12 years, I've been like, how many? So over the last 12 years, what's been the most meaningful thing to you? What's been the hardest thing? What's been the most challenging thing? What's been the most fun thing? And we start to reminisce about those things and laugh. Some of those bring tears to our eyes at times, but some of those things were painful. And we go, how are you doing? How would you know? What do you think that we're doing? Because a lot of times where we've come from will tell us where we are now and where we're going. So I think it's important for us to just think back real briefly on where we've come from as a church body. So 13 years ago, this church congregation began to meet. And they've hopped around to a lot of different places over those years because they never had a home, so to speak, a place they could call their own. And they met in middle school, they met at the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they met a few times even here in town at the Mason's Lodge. They met in the sports complex for a long period of time. And finally, we landed here in this place. And when we purchased this place, we knew that it was going to be too small, automatically, right off the bat. And this place didn't look like it does right now. In fact, we met on the other side, if you remember that, if you've been here for a number of years, you remember that we met in the other half where all the classrooms are now in the back. Those walls weren't there. You know, it was a smaller open room, had partitions that we took down, and we had a small stage in the front. We had about 80 chairs crammed together in the middle with a single aisle, no aisles on the sides. So if you had to get out, you had to, excuse me, fall over the next person and climb out. But we were, even though it was crammed, the Spirit dwelt there. Even when we were homeless, so to speak, the Spirit lived and dwelt there because the Spirit isn't confined to a place. It lives in the hearts of the people. And so people came joyfully. And they said, I'll be uncomfortable for an hour. Because God is there. And so we knew that it was a stopgap to meet there and we would have to find some other solutions. So we began to look and examine how can we add on, what things can we do, and there were a few roadblocks and hurdles until finally we decided, you know what? We've got this other space on the other side of the building. The footprint of the building is bigger. Can we open that up completely? And that's how we came to this section of the building where we are now. And even in that, we knew, okay, that would give us a little bit of breathing room, but not much. We're going to still need to do some other things down the road. So the building team continued to meet, and they talked about what we're going to do out front, behind me here, which will be a future worship space, a large space where we can all meet together and not have two services. And that space, again, we debated for a number of months on how that should work and what it should look like, and we actually came up with a plan, which is hanging on the wall over there, by the way, and Bill's going to talk a little bit about a few of those details. But we came up with that plan, and we started raising money towards it, and it was in one of those building team meetings, after we'd already set that plan in place, so somebody goes, you know, what are we going to do with the kids? And I said, I should have thought of that. I'm going to the pastor. What are we going to do with those kids? So I started to pray and talk, what can we do? I think it was maybe Jeff who suggested the idea of adding on to the backpack here. Can we do something back there in that space, in that area? We've got that area back here. And it's out of that that you have watched this this shell come up and some of the work on the interior be done. Now, the reason that we wanted, and this was intentional, we didn't want to take all the building stuff right up front because the building stuff is secondary. It's our hearts with Jesus that's first, right? Buildings or no buildings. Buildings, they're not going to be here at the end. We have this much time on earth and all of eternity in heaven. So let's not focus so much on the buildings that we forget that it's our hearts, right? So it was intentional when we talked about this second. But I do want to go over a few of those details with you. So we have the total cost there from where we are right now and then what's been done. And that number is kind of on the right-hand side in bold. So the total that we've spent thus far is just a little over $146,000. That gets us to where we are at this point, which is the size of the building out there, which is about 40 by 60. That gets us the three classrooms. It gets us the large open worship space in the middle, which I'm super excited about because we're going to have corporate worship with all the kids together in one place. It will allow us to have some of the helpers. We can do the skits and things all together rather than have them totally broke up. It's going to let us have the younger kids in with the older kids who will be mentors and role models for those younger kids, hopefully. Knock on wood. We're all works in progress. But I'm super excited about how that's coming together, and we've got all that included. So the breakdown over here is on the left for you. So you see the shelf of the building, which Jerry Benton completed for us, was $135,361. So that got us the whole shell. Everything done on the exterior, totally proofed it in the weather. We got the metal roofing as a separate item, which we got a cost for just a little over $2,800. The interior framing, we had Jerry go ahead and do that as well, which was $4,200. We had plumbing roughed in just shortly after that, and just a little over $2,400. The stage materials were purchased from an artist, and we had a work day where we put the stage together and we installed all of that, and it was just about $600. And then the electrical supplies have been purchased, and we're in the process of having some electric stuff done, and insulation has been donated, so there's no cost for that, and we're in the process of installing that. Again, getting the walls totally done through the work days. Our next one is coming up on the 28th. So Mark Murphy will be heading that up. If you have any questions about it, I'd love to pass the information along. But even where we are, we're not done. We've made a lot of progress, and we're getting very close. Bill and I were talking after the last building team meeting. If we can get this thing to drywall by the end of the year, how awesome would that be? And then we could even start using that space, because it would be heated, it would be lit, we would have the drywall. And I know it's rough, and we have to do some things, but we can use it by the end of the year, and how great would that be? So, there's a blurb there about our current building fund balance, which is a little over $17,000. Now, for our anniversary, we had committed that we've done this the last several years, and we're going to give everything that's been given today and the offering into the building fund, unless you designate it otherwise. So if you put some other designation on, of course, it will go where you designated it. But everything else is going to go straight to the building fund. And we've also committed for the rest of the year that we're going to put $1,500 monthly into that building fund in lieu of our mortgage payment. So we paid off the mortgage. For the rest of the year, we're going to roll $1,500 that would have been earmarked for the mortgage into the building fund. And then we also have a CD that's about to mature at the end of the year of $16,000. So all total, that puts us at a little over about $35,000, $36,000 by the end of the year. So here's our three-month plan, and this is what Bill and I discussed, and we talked about it in the building team meeting as well. Can we achieve this? By the end of the year, we want to complete the installation of the insulation, all the electrical work, they have the heating roughed in, get the inspection performed, which has to be done prior to covering everything with the drywall. We've started getting drywall bids already, so we need to get that lined up for the summer. We may even go ahead and have the painting done by the end of the year as well. So that's our three-month goal, and that's what we're shooting for. We want to shoot high. We want to stretch ourselves. We don't want to get bogged down. So I'm going to let Bill close things out here in just a second, but I wanted to say one last thing, and that last picture on the slideshow that I showed you with the students standing there, the picture of Jesus behind us, is this. Do they see Jesus in us when we go? Do they see Jesus everywhere that you go? When they look at your life, do they see Jesus? And Bill's original text for this sermon was going to be from Colossians chapter 1. I'd like to just read it for you briefly. It's from Colossians 1, and it's verses 15 through 23. He, that being Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. And that is our goal, is that we would remain steadfast. There's an interesting analogy that I heard, maybe not analogy, it's not the right word, but someone had said, what's the true mark of a Christian? How do you know that you're a Christian? I said, well, aside from doctrine, you know, we started talking about doctrinal things. This is how we know we're a Christian. We said, no, aside from that. And I said, well, we're called to be holy. And he said, yes, we are called to be holy. And I said, well, where are you going with this? And he said, I think the true mark, and I think he's onto something, the true mark of a Christian is not perfection, but is repentance. The true mark of a Christian is repentance. A heart that repents. A heart that is sensitive and tender to the things of God. That can be used, that is moldable and malleable, that God can take and transform and make into his own. That's the mark of a Christian. Now, whether or not that's totally true or not, I can't say. I believe that there's some truth to that. Yes, we do need to have right beliefs, and we do need to land in the right places on theological things. And yes, we are aiming for holiness, but I think there's really something to be learned there. The true mark of a Christian is repentance and a heart that is hungry for the Lord. So that's my prayer for us as an organization, as a church, as a body of believers, is that we would always look to Jesus as the head, and that we would be sensitive to his word.
Okay, honey, would you go back to the very first slide, the quote? I don't want to say while you're doing that, I'm going to do this. And it's good to have Grace with us today. She's been unable to come because of a concussion, and so it's nice to have her out. She goes all week long at school, and then basically crashes on the weekend. It's so good to have you. I looked out there, oh, I forgot to say something. It's good to see you, Grace. The quote, without vision, there is rarely direction. Without direction, there are no goals. Without goals, there's no progress. If we want to continue moving ahead, we're going to have to continue setting goals, continue setting direction, continue moving. A lot of this is, a lot of people say, well, you need to set 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year goals. I'm good enough if I set tomorrow goals. A lot of church work, church movement is by the seat of your pants. And I don't say that to be crude, but it's what it is, you know. Because things come up that challenge you, and you say, oh, but we got to scrap this. My sermon series for next year was a perfect example. And you scrap it, you go somewhere else. My sermon this morning, my talk this morning was, I had this planned, got here this morning, and said, no, that's not it. Rewrote it. Because sometimes you have to do that. But we want you to know that we do have goals with the main goal, connecting people with Jesus and then doing what we can do to bring that about. We asked you about a month ago, or I asked you about a month ago, that we wanted to do something a little different today and have a question and answer time. We didn't get a lot of questions, but we got a few. Some of them are personal questions that I'll personally go and talk with you about. So if you put a question down here and say, hey, you didn't do mine, it's because you're going to get a personal visit, so we got to go for it. Some of these are involved me in a little church, and those were more personal. Someone asked us, and here's the first one, about an adult Sunday school class. First of all, this is a tough one due to our morning structure. Churches who have a Sunday school program either have one service or they have a long time section in between services. You know, they might have 8 o'clock, and they go have a service till 9:15, and then they don't have church until maybe 10:15 or 10:30. Well, we don't have that luxury. And we don't see that for the foreseeable future, but that is not saying that we're not thinking about it in the end. Additionally, with the addition back there, it does give us more options for small groups, though. And so we may shoot for more small groups during the week or on a Sunday night, because we do have more options back there with the classrooms instead of even going to homes. Next other question is, why do we have an invitation or an altar call? It sounds like an excuse, and some of you can say that, but the main reason is space. We're working on a solution, I want you to know that, since several people did ask about that question. But given the space issue that we have up front here, we're not sure what we're going to do. If you, some of you remember when Peter was here, he said if anybody wanted prayer, they can come up and pray with them. Well, Peter was limited to where he was going to take them, and when someone comes up and wants to unload their heart on you, they don't want to do it right where everybody's walking by. And so we're trying to figure out different ways. One option would be the possibility, and they're going to cut down on space, would be to put fake rooms up on the side in the corners here with dividers. Another one would be, once we move the addition, get the addition done, move Ryan's office down where the preschool area is, that his office, which is now the library, could become a prayer place for people to be talked to and have privacy in that. So we are talking about that. Some of you asked about that, why do we don't do that? And that's the main reason. And some of that is my fault. I'm going to confess that because of the lack of room, it's really hard to get to know people unless they've already made a decision and you're planning on them coming up. So we're working on it. Just give us a little bit of grace. Okay, give us a little bit of patience. The other question, and it was a good question, was in the future, are we going to have a baptistry? And if you look at the big diagram there, Diana finally put a little post-it note there, and that is where the baptistry is going to be. We are planning on having one there. The Y has been very gracious to let us use their building. But we are somewhat limited in that. We have to work around their schedule, which is totally understandable on our part. But our plan was, when we went up front here, was this corner over here, there would be a baptistry. Okay, so that is the plan, but that's going to be down the road, you know, until we get that other section, until we get that one done, and then we save the money after this. And that's the one thing that I'm excited about, is that we have been committed to being debt free. Our building is paid off, and the only thing that goes out are the things that we do for ministry. We're not strapped by a $5,000-$6,000 mortgage a month, you know, so where we can't help people. And if that was a situation, it would just curl my insides, you know, to say, well, somebody calls up and says, coming from the church, says, can you help me with my electricity? I'm sorry, we're out of money. You know, that kills me to be able to say that, or have to say that. So we don't have to say that, because God has blessed us. And if we are committed to stay debt-free, which is what we're doing back there, we're paying as the money comes in, we're going to do the same thing out front. You know, and it'll take a while, but God's going to bless us, He's going to make a way for us, and we'll do as we have. There are several other questions that I mentioned that I'll talk to you personally, because they are more personal questions that would lend to some discussion and some questions. So if you put something down there and I didn't say it, those were the only ones that were asked, though, that were more corporate, church-wide. Hopefully that answers some questions. If you have more questions, please feel free to write them down. and give it to me, Ryan, or Diana. That's the top man, it would be Diana, Ryan, and me. Yeah, okay. Give it to one of us, and we'll make an effort to either answer the question through communication like this, or through an email, or to just sit down and talk to you personally. And you can write it down, hand it to us. All we ask is you put your name on it. Because especially, you know, if we need to follow up with you, we don't know who asked the question, it's hard for you.
It's kind of hard to answer if you don't tell us your name. So my battery message is going dead. You talk too much. All right, so we thank you for your patience this morning. We know that we went a little bit longer, but here's what's going to happen. We are going to have communion, and then the worship team is going to come up, and I asked them if they would sing a couple songs at the end, more lively, kind of get us ready. Then after we pray, I'm going to ask everybody if you would help to take the chairs, put them back, and bring the tables in. There are a few out in the hallway already. We need a whole line of tables back there for the food, and then we'll need some in here. Some of you might want to go out to the shed, in a shelter, not a shed. The shed that has the lawnmower in it. You might want to go out to the shelter. Jay and Elijah French, Jay Henson and Elijah French, have been cooking hamburgers and hot dogs, so those are available, and we'll set the rest of the food up here. And then we'll bring the hamburgers and hot dogs in here, and you can fix it. Then if you want to go out there and sit and chit-chat, feel free to do that, okay? So let's do this, let's pray. And Jeff, if you guys would get ready for communion, we'll go ahead and prepare for that. But what Ryan and I talked about, tried to all morning, is this is for God's glory. And we must never take credit for anything. He gives us the gifts, the talents, the voice, the fingers, whatever he gives us is from him. And so he gets the honor and he gets the glory. And if you are one of those people whom I mentioned at the very beginning, all of the 20 Ezekiels are down in dry bones, why don't you pray right now that God will begin to fire, put a new fire in your heart. And we sing a song, set a fire in my heart. And let's pray that he will set a fire in our heart and help us just to burn for him. And so this communion time is the time for you to do that. If you are seeing your faith grow, you take this time to say, thank you, Father, for allowing my faith to be growing. Continue to grow. Continue to help me be more like Jesus and to be his hands and feet, not just in my own family, anymore, but in this community. And then, most important of all, we are called again and again to come and remember him again and again for what he's done. And so take the time to say, thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for my praise. If you're visiting with us, please do communion as we normally do. We ask you to hold it, and then I will lead us in communion together.